You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, we'll just get started. Because first of all, I'm persecuted because of my fashion sense. A man can't just make a decision for the sake of liking something. I bought yellow sneakers because I always wanted a pair. Mr. Psychic Medium over here, why yellow? What's the significance? Why does it have to be a significance?
Well, I thought it might have to do with who you're getting, you know, a tattoo with about. So.
Enrique Iglesias?
Yes.
No, that's your... That's your sick, twisted decision for me, all in the name of suicide prevention. Listen, you're telling me I'm going to hell because of my religious beliefs? How many Christians do you know would tattoo Enrique Iglesias to them in the name of suicide prevention?
How many Christians do we know who would not realize when I said what I said at the thing that we're going to put money up, and you were like, you know, whoever you want to do. I was like, I could have made you do Donny Osmond, too.
That probably would have been better than Enrique Iglesias.
Agreed.
Donny Osmond was a household name.
But look at it this way. It's a good thing. So what's the date now for these tattoos?
We're getting Chad done before the end of the year.
Okay, good.
I promise.
We're going to hold you to it.
There's only, it's a little over a month to the end of the year.
Yeah, I get it. You know, this whole COVID thing was not exactly the easiest to maneuver around. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make it a big deal.
Well, I mean, you did do something good. We raised $1,000, you know, from you doing the tattoo.
This is the way I can get my friends to help. Hey, I got this big event going on. Hey, permanently scar your body with the worst rock star in music, and I'll give you money. Thank you. You're such a friend. By the way.
You actually did that to yourself.
I kind of did.
You know that. I mean, you actually did because I...
Now you sound like my father. Well, Bri, you brought this upon yourself.
Well, it's just the truth.
Get hit by a bus, say, Bri, you shouldn't have been standing there.
I mean, Rob kept saying you to be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, and you just didn't learn your lesson from last year.
So. I did it for the people.
I know. You're a people
person. I'm a man of the people.
You're a people person.
By the way, Jake, you sure you want to do this for the next hour? But
I could handle it. You know, I work in the field of mental health, so this is mild to me.
You'll be busy here. Poor.
He's like, this is nothing compared to my ideal.
Calm, well-mannered guy comes into this blank show. By the way.
I'm going to be spinning afterwards.
Oh, dude, you know prayers? You know prayers, right?
Of course. Yeah,
yeah, you're going to need some.
He's going to need plenty.
Google some new ones. This is... Jake's book is Life After Breath. Jake is a licensed clinical social worker. And this book, from what I have been gathering while we were talking off mic, is about his brush with a near-death experience. Now, this is how you pretty much incorporated or became a licensed clinical social worker and incorporated a lot of what you do based on what happened to you in your youth, right?
Yeah, I mean, so much of what I try to do was to give back what I was given in my near-death experience.
Okay.
You know, that happened to me. And, you know, the release of the book, you know, about a year ago from today, happened at a time where literally or metaphorically people felt out of sorts,
right,
out of life. And I think so much of life is given back of it. You know, it's the ultimate gift that we're all given. And certainly having a near-death experience, you have that and you're able to see through it. And I wanted to give that back to people in any way that I could.
Was this book written pre-pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, it was finished, you know, during it, but,
okay,
you know, when you write a book, you usually have what's called a literary proposal, which is the framework and bedrock of your book. So
true.
I started that maybe 2 years ago. You send that out to publishers, and then the easy part was actually finishing the book. That took me just a couple months, but the proposal was the most difficult.
Sure. So Jake Cooper's book is Life After Breath. We're going to be talking with Jake throughout the hour about his near-death experience, about the journey through the book, and about what he does with Reiki. He's got actually a lot of really cool things to talk about. But before we get into all of that, sir, you were in my town.
Yes.
You were in Ronkonkoma.
I know, and you didn't go in the lake. I'm disappointed.
I got the notification late that you were there. I didn't bring my swim trunks. Well, what was going on there?
We did windows on the lake.
Yeah.
We didn't do any sacrifices. The lady didn't come out of the lake.
Because I wasn't there.
For you, I heard. Yeah. I heard the Indian princess says, where's that guy, Orlando, from Ronkonkoma? Yeah.
That lake is more a part of my life than I think even music.
Probably.
Like that, I grew up at that lake. It's cleaner than it was, but I don't think it'll ever get back to the point where it'll be a tourist attraction. And it was the tourist attraction. Motor Parkway was the first toll road in the country. People actually paid to drive on that road just to get to Lake Ronkonkoma. Motor Parkway ends at Ocean Avenue now, and across the street is the lake. But years ago, Motor Parkway ran into the lake. And there's nothing left, but I think there was something like 11 bars, restaurants, hotels, all around the lake, on it and on the other side. And there's still remnants. Like, you could still see the stairs that went to the mansions and things like that. That's still there. So there's still a lot of history in that lake.
Good place for a ghost investigation or,
one of these days, Jeff, when it gets a little warmer.
I'll go for that.
Actually, that lake is how Jeffrey and I started talking.
Really?
Because at the time, he was just the weird dude that talked to dead people from Walk. We bought Walk, and I'm like, I want nothing to do with this guy. He would come in one side, and I would, dude.
That's not true. I was very nice.
You were a grumpy guy.
I think you're talking about you. You got nicer since you got into fruit. You're much better.
Could we reword that, please? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Is there something that you're not telling us, sir? I'm calling the police.
Has you been 10 minutes yet? Anyway. No, so I took a selfie at the lake. And remember?
I do, yes.
Who I took the selfie with texted me, and they're like, look at your glasses. I'm like, it's just me. What are you talking about? No, look again.
I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, and sure enough, there was a picture in my glasses. It was a guy. It was clear as day in my glasses in the one lens. The next week, I just happened to see Jeffrey in the hallway. We barely ran into each other because he was on Walk, and that was it. And I said, Jeff, come here, man. Like, just on a whim, what is this? And he knew who it was, who I thought it was. And we started talking. And then he's like, yeah, let's do a show. I'm like, I think it's a great idea. Let's do it. And then we've been the odd couple ever since.
You had a gem in your own backyard, and you didn't think about it. Yeah, Jeff. Yeah.
this is a rock station. We weren't sure. Yeah. We weren't sure who would be into it. But then you realize everybody has had trauma, loss.
Yeah.
Everybody, no matter how tough you are, needs that closure and that hope. So we're talking to Jacob Cooper, licensed clinical social worker. Jake was impressed that I knew what that meant.
Yeah.
LCSW.
Most very impressive. Yeah.
But social work is not the easiest. I mean, I think it says a lot about somebody's character. It's well known that it to start is not the most high paying social work. But I think what comes out of it is the payoff. So you must really be dedicated to helping people.
Yeah, I was debating psychology or social work, and I think the distinguishing part is, someone comes into your office, you could talk with them in your office for a couple minutes, but if they have bills to pay, or they're struggling to integrate themselves in their community, you're just kind of spinning your wheels. And so social work is very broad-based and eclectic and versatile to meet, people's needs. So that's what I loved about it. It's a lot more broad-based.
You're a third-generation social worker.
Right.
It's in your blood.
It's in the mishpacha, yeah.
Dude, I give you all the credit in the world. Well, how did this book come about? I mean, you had the near-death experience. You do Reiki, which is a very versatile guy. And you also do past life regression therapy. Mm-hmm. So how did this all, how did you realize that you were able to do all of this and then put it all together into social work?
Yeah, you know, I think any project, you know, there's a will that you have, but there's also a flow, and I think part of your life path. And for me, I was just going with the flow of this book. I think this book came through me, but not from me.
Okay.
If that makes sense. And losing a couple of people in my life that did work like Jeff. I had a friend of mine who was a well-known medium who passed away, and he would always read for me. He always said, I see a book for you. So much of this book was given back to those who could have written a book but sure. didn't, or had a story in them. And I always say, in the front part of this book says this, it's a Wayne Dyer quote, that as long as you're telling your story, you can never truly die. I think so many people, out of fear, hold themselves back from sharing their stories and worrying about what people will think, not understanding that it's not about your story, it's about people and integrating your story to redefine their story.
It's a great quote. That's how I feel about music.
I think we underestimate, you know, what we have in our own mind, and we don't know just the power of intention, the power of the ripple effect.
Well, what came first for you? Past life regressions? Did that start internally, or did the Reiki stuff come first?
You know, I think I was doing Reiki training, you know, before that, but as a kid, I was having a lot of spontaneous past life memories. If you ever watch, you know, Netflix's Surviving Death, you know, you hear of some of the kids.
I've seen a couple.
You know, there's a whole segment on the kids yep. who have had the past life memories. And so as a child, I had a lot of those, and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have the lexicon, the terminology, mm-hmm. or anyone to go with it. And so I think a lot of the work that we do is very much inner child-based, and it's very much speaking to a place of us that wasn't able to express itself or didn't have the proper support for what we do. And so much of what I do is to have that avatar kid in my head and to help people who might feel a little bit lost. And number one question is, what's my life's purpose? And, you know, past life regression could really support people to be a lot more empowered, you know, that they're more than just this body.
And well, how does that work? How does a past life acknowledgement help people come to terms with their purpose in this life?
Well, number one, I recognize is when you're able to go through regressions that, you know, your consciousness is really expansive during those mm-hmm. moments. But you understand, you know, from that, that you can never die. And you're just more than just this ego and right. personality. You're more than just this page that you see yourself as, your entire encyclopedia. And so I think it's similar in parallels to the near-death experience in a sense that you recognize that you could only live, that you could never truly die. And part of the past life regression is you go through moments in which your body left, but your soul had continuity. But I think it's from completion we begin. We recognize that there's similar patterns and symmetry of some, you know, other, you know, carnations in this one. You know, some of them have, you know, lesser relevance, but some are stronger in their significance. And I think we're here to move the needle and progress our own karma, which is our story, and our own sure. dharma, our own purpose.
Is there so. Always some relevance? Is there always some connection between the lives, or do some people just get a complete do-over?
I mean, you know, people come to me for various different reasons. Some are looking for just out of curiosity. Some
can
have,
he see Orlando past life? Rose, we went through this. I was a monk, according to Jeffrey. I'm sorry, Jake.
Yeah, no.
Just
no.
reading the.
I mean, I think a lot of people, when they're coming to my office, they want to see which Cleopatra they were. And there's about six or seven of them. And so they're like fixated on this one sure. kind of thing. The majority of us have a karmic wheel, and we have, you know, different lives. Not every life was rich and glamour. Some was more mundane. We had a pitchfork in our hand. We were working the land. You know, some are more regal, but I think all is a part of a greater
I was never regal. I was a court jester, and I was hanged as a monk. I I got great freaking...
As you said, some could be more traumatic, some are more pleasant. But, you know, each lifetime is about different experiences so that we could be more expansive in understanding ourself and other people, and that we're just not tied into ourselves. We're able to have more universality of understanding of others' experiences.
So as a mental health professional, what do you feel the best benefit of learning a past life regression is for the psyche?
I would say, you know, if you've tried you know, the house, if you tried the base of the house and the house is still collapsing on itself, you've tried, working with a guy like myself, but there's still something stopping you. You know, it's kind of like we were talking about with Ronkonkoma, like the last stop on the train kind of thing. So if you tried every route, I think past self-regression, you know, it could be beneficial for numerous ways, but you're asking me, I think you should rule out first, you know, mental health, to try that out. But you know, after that, you know, once you've tried that route, I think it's good to
work on it
on a deeper level.
I just mean because the people come to you, you know, as a licensed clinical social worker, they have maybe some mental health issues to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I feel like whatever the benefits would be out of learning a past life to help heal them from whatever trauma they might have had. Like, is that a possible thing?
I think so. I think it's important to work conjunctively, but also when there's a readiness. I think sometimes when people are, you know, really stuck in the heaviness of their own, mm-hmm. you know, mental health, you know, they might not have a readiness to go that deeply. So I think before you want to go into the deep waters of the pool, you want to make sure that you're able to tread some of the lighter waters and build up your own stamina so that you go a little bit deeper, you know, into the psyche, into the subconscious.
Excellent analogy, but Stevie and I are the type of guys that just jump right into the deep end and then try to figure out how to swim later.
We're the shark here, so I expect nothing less, you know.
We're hanging out with Jay Cooper. Life After Breath, How a Brush with Fatality Gave Me a Glimpse of Immortality. First of all, where do we purchase the book?
You know, it's available, you know, most of my sales, probably 85% come off of Amazon. Okay. You can get off of Target online, Walmart. You know, it's in some local libraries too in Long Island as well.
I mean, you're a Long Island kid. Is there any Long Island attitude in the book?
There's some Long Island stories.
I don't
think you could take the Long Islander out of any of us. And you know what's interesting is sometimes when I'm out of state, when I'm around Long Islanders, I don't feel as Long Islandy. But when I'm out of state, you know, that comes out, and you gotta tame, you know, that within. You know,
try going to a hockey game out of state.
Yeah.
They'll pick out the Long Islander at 20,000 people.
When I'm speaking in Toronto, it's strong, so I have to be mindful, and you know.
What's up, Lena? How you doing? Oh, look, dude, that was weird. Lena says, hi, Jeffrey in Orlando from Snowy Cat something, Ontario.
Wow, that's, yeah. You know, I presented in Ontario, yeah.
Capu.
Ontario has got to be.
Kappa Casing?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Would you please help me out with that?
Kappa Casing. It's got to be north.
You don't know if that's, you didn't even look at it.
I don't know.
You just repeated what I said.
You got a geography lesson here.
I know Canada.
Hey, Diane, how are you? Lena said, we've talked before. Is it Kappa Casing, Lena? Toronto. We have a psychic medium from Toronto that comes on. We're going to maybe have her soon, right?
Kappa Casing.
What's her name? I've definitely.
Jay Lane. She's
a phenomenal
lady.
She's very sweet, very gifted.
And
yes,
you talked about being on Grace Grella's show as well.
Yes, so I've been on Grace numerous times, and that's where I met my mentor who, if you watch the video, I was very much stuck in a very deep place, and I met my mentor, you know, Robert Richard Wright, on the show, and he changed my entire life. And
really?
He passed away a couple years ago, but this one, you know, Robert's one of the persons who I really dedicated in the book. So Grace is a dear friend of mine, love her, really changed my life as well, too, being on her
show. Jeff knows everybody.
He's a very well-connected man, you know.
For your reference, here's where Kappa Casing is. It is north, but it's not all the way north.
I don't even know what I'm looking at. You zoomed in too much. It just looks like a green blob.
Is it nearby?
I do, but what am I looking at?
Sudbury or North Bay?
What's that?
Is it by Sudbury, Ontario?
It's by Moonbeam.
You literally showed me a green blob.
This is the state of Ontario. See, Ontario?
Well, it's a province. It's not a state.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah,
would you please act more Canadian?
Hey, you want to go to a hockey game real quick?
I do. I love hockey.
So Toronto is here. That's where Cap Casing is.
Gotcha. So it's north of Toronto.
Yes.
All right. Now I know that. We learned. This is an educational show.
I think of two things. What is it? Tony Hortons or Tim Hortons and their French fries?
Tim
Hortons. Those are the two things that stick out in my head from my trip.
Tim Horton died in an automobile crash, and it is the Dunkin' Donuts of Ontario.
And Wayne Gretzky is a god there. When you go anywhere, Wayne Gretzky has a burger.
Wayne Gretzky's a god in the studio.
Yeah, that too. But you go there, he's everywhere. Yeah.
The very first game I was at a bar to watch the Rangers home opener. Anyway, so the sound was off. Padron, was my point.
Tequila or Don Julio? What were you
Don
drinking?
Don Julio. Don Julio. Anyway, I look up. You know, some psychic. I look up, and Wayne Shaq was in net. Shaquille O'Neal. And Wayne Gretzky was trying to score off him. I don't know what I was seeing, because, again, the sound was off, but it was the greatest thing ever.
I thought I was tripping on
something.
Yeah,
dude.
That's a very interesting combo.
I saw that where Shaq was playing goalie.
And he was trying to stop Gretzky. It was the greatest thing I ever saw. Because Shaq's like a million feet tall, and Gretzky still scored on him.
That's it, yeah.
I love Jeffrey's subtitles.
Yes.
Wayne Gretzky was born in Brantford, Ontario.
Which is north I think it's north of Toronto, if I'm not mistaken.
So, in a world
You would like Toronto. Toronto's a very interesting city. You would love, but Montreal you would really love.
You feel like you're in another world when you're there. I mean, it's cleaner. The leaves are different. It's just
I've only been in Niagara Falls.
My grandmother. It's a different vibe. Was a major Toronto Maple Leafs fan because she grew up in Canada.
Right.
And she was convinced that when you heard the Montreal Canadiens, the Forum, they would go, go Habs, go. And my grandmother would translate it as go Frogs, go. Which I thought was, so to this day, every time I see a Montreal jersey, I think of my grandmother.
See, it would probably be considered sacrilege. And I think the only person who could have gotten away with it was Gretzky. But his final game at the Garden before he retired, they did the whole ceremony. And they changed the words of both O Canada and the national anthem, where the singer sang, in the land of Wayne Gretzky. I mean, you could be shot for doing something like that. Not condoning, I'm just saying. I don't condone. But no one else. That's how huge he was in the game of hockey. There's nobody better. Take away all of his goals. He has more points than anybody.
Instead of saying the Michael Jordan of, you got to say the
Wayne Gretzky of. Right. Basketball's the biggest sport, but there's no argument that Gretzky was the best.
Most dominant in your field, you say the Wayne Gretzky of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone asked what you thought of crystals, using crystals as healing properties.
Before I got on the show, I actually used crystals. I'm a big fan. You know, and
do you have a crystal of choice?
I use, you know, a lot of quartz. You know, my cousin actually lives in Tucson, so she always goes to the gem show out in Tucson. I think it's around this time of year, but she always sends me all these big quartzes and amethyst. I think it's important to keep it simple. Some people could get very sophisticated, you know, overly complicated, but find something that works with you. I think like anything else, you could look at every, you know, benefit of it, but it's more important to how it speaks to you.
Right.
But I think, you know, having a tourmaline or a rose quartz, clear quartz, amethyst could do wonders. Amethyst is very good to put by the bed. It's very good with dreams. It has like a sobering effect.
Amethyst
too.
Is the white thing?
I think it's the purple
it's
one.
Purple.
It's purple. Isn't it?
How do you know that?
I have an amethyst here in my apartment. Dream amethyst, actually.
Okay. Anyway, what does it do?
Amethyst is, I think it's very good with the subconscious and dreaming. I wouldn't recommend this, but it has a sobering effect. So if you're overly intoxicated, it like calms you down or whatever. It doesn't get you as. But if the police pulls you over, don't say that I'm wearing amethyst. It's not going to work. But you know, wouldn't recommend that. You know.
That's why Jackie at Crystal Light Bed, when you lay on the bed, she's got a mat of amethyst.
Right.
That's what you're laying on.
Oh no, I'm moving. Somebody called me. I forgot to put my phone on. Do not disturb. We're back.
I'm a big fan of keeping things simple. I'm a Taurus. I know Jeff is. I just like to stick to the script. You know, keep it simple. That's what sticks. You know.
So you keep it by your bed. There are some crystals that are meant to have on you, right?
You can. I think tourmaline is more of a protective. Yeah. You know, like ill-dignified energy, or is it jade?
I just think
tourmaline.
They look cool.
Hematite. You know, is good for I think negative energy. So.
Which one's hematite?
Hematite is the
magnetic kind of.
Yeah, one. It's got the. It looks like that. Remember the thing she gave us.
That's
this
thing.
That's selenite.
Selenite.
How do you know these things?
I have selenite one in my apartment.
All right.
Selenite.
He's got chains and whips in his apartment.
lately, so.
It's been a while.
Selenite's good for white light, I think, clearing. It clears other crystals. Yeah. And they're rather cheap, but you have to be careful with selenite because it could break pretty easily. It could peel off. But, I mean, it's important to also purchase from a reputable buyer like anything else. Like, going to some of these stores, I have question marks of how authentic, you know, they are. So
we have a good friend.
It's tried and true.
Peace, Love, Prana in Shirley on 442B William Floyd Parkway. Mm. Jen Busick, she's been on the show a couple of times. Mm. She's phenomenal. Yeah. So I picked up a couple of things. And there's a Marcy, our friend from Port Jeff Salt Cave, sells some crystals too. To be honest with you, I agree with you because I know nothing about this stuff. Mm. It's just, you think this will help? If it was up to Jeffrey, you would hang every stone over my shoulder. And say a prayer, right? What's up, Christine? Christine, how you feeling? She's going through some health things. Yeah, I'm feeling she will. She's a good girl. All right, so let's get back to this. We're here with our buddy Jay Cooper, licensed clinical social worker. Life After Breath is the book. So how much of this is steeped in clinical psychology, and how much of this book is steeped in the hypnotherapy and the past life regressions and things like that?
I'd say, you know, this book, a lot of my motive was, you know, years ago in my mid-20s, I started speaking about my near-death experience. Mm-hmm. And it worked well, particularly with grief populations. I work closely with organizations such as the Forever Family Foundation and other places. But, you know, when people would hear me speak, they would feel a little bit left out that they didn't have this near-death experience. And they almost felt a little bit disempowered. Gotcha. And so I think a lot of the book was, if I just die the near-death experience guy, or if I die as a heaven guy, I'm not going to feel good. I want everyone to remember that they all, could remember this. This is a book to have like a little bit of amnesia to remind people of who they truly are, where they come from, and where they're headed to. So I got very personal, very vulnerable to allow a lot more relatability through the near-death experience and beyond to empower other people. So I guess you could say a lot of the book is psychologically based, you know, in the memoir component, but it also speaks to a lot of trauma that happened. You know, as a young kid, I suffocated as a result of pertussis, otherwise known as whooping cough. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that was a big factor, you know, in a tumultuous.
That was your near-death experience?
Yeah, I suffocated, yes, as Jesus. A young child as a result of pertussis, which could be fatal for infants, children, mm-hmm. in rare cases, adults, too. And this was at a playground, you know, with family friends. So there's a lot of allegorical or symbology mm-hmm. of almost kind of like the children in God's playgrounds, you know, here to be our, you know, brothers and sisters keepers. But there's a lot of symbolical reference. But I think a lot of the book is grounded in this reality, but there's also a supernatural component to it too. And really it's to allow people to see themselves in this book and to have amnesia that, you know, before this body, we were something. We're connected so much to so much more than just this physical body.
Yes, this is the deepest we've gotten on Medium Inc.
Really?
Yeah, this is like one of those philosophical things. Simple guys like Stevie and I, we're learning a lot today.
Yeah.
You made me work harder with this. You know, that's I got to get even more personal for those reasons.
Yeah. Now, look, I mean, the book is definitely something I'm going to be diving into. It looks really cool. Past life regressions.
It's a quick
is,
read, yeah.
It's weird. Past life regressions doesn't really come up a lot, considering that this is a show where the guy talks to dead people all day. Past life regressions it's come up. We've been doing this 2 years. I think it's come up like 5 times. I feel like we're only starting to hear about this now.
You guys are going deeper into your work. You know, that's a deeper rung of this, you know, subject. But you know, I think someone who really put it on the map was Dr. Brian Weiss when he wrote the best-selling book, Many Lives, Many Masters, I think in the late 80s, early 90s. But before this, it was like a 60s Woodstock kind of thing where if you're into reincarnation, it was kind of hippie. And he was like a Yale-trained clinical psychiatrist.
Okay.
And so he came up to this work, I think, a little bit similar to Jeff, where he was doing like an age regression on a patient. And when he was regressing the patient was describing a lifetime hundreds of years ago in which they drowned by water. But not only that, they connected to one of his deceased kid and one of his grandfathers. And to a left-brained Yale psychiatrist, this was like, what was this? What's going on? So the interdimensional communication with one of Brian's kids and you know, what this person was tapping into just blew his mind. And so this allowed him to go on this quest to really discover this consciousness beyond this lifetime and to really delve into past lives as a healing tool to work with some of his patients who had this unexplained phobias or unexplained tendencies. So it moved, it allowed him and his patients to move the needle a lot faster and some of their blockages that they were experiencing. So it's an incredibly powerful tool to, you know, for progress in patients. It really can be.
What do we learn about past life regressions in your book?
In my book, I don't necessarily, in my next book, I talk a little bit more about it, so stay
tuned. Plug away, man. You can talk about that now, too.
That's called The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder, which is really,
there a movie, Jacob's Ladder?
Jacob's Ladder was an awesome movie.
Good. It was a little scary, though.
Yeah, The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder is really about a lot of the lessons from the near-death experience so that we don't have to wait till we die to go to heaven, that we can integrate the hereafter into the here now.
Okay.
But some of my past life memories from my near-death experience and subsequent experiences as a kid are highlighted in this. And these have been evidentially supported by psychics and mediums prior to me ever getting public, which it was incredibly validating. And I do give, you know, reputable mediums a lot of credit because they're able to validate what you already know many times. And that's incredibly empowering. So I do owe a lot of credit to intuitives and mediums who have really empowered, you know, a lot of what I already knew inside of me.
Well, Reiki, from what we understand, we have a Reiki master, Chris, that comes on.
And Grace Grella, too, is
Grace
a Reiki
does
master.
Reiki, yeah. Yeah. But I still don't necessarily have a grasp on what it is. Mm. And that's probably a good reason why you're here. Reiki is, you know, like my first thought of it was, hey, it's a no-touch massage. I'm like, well, that's really dumb. I have a knot in my neck. How are you going to fix this? But apparently Reiki is a little bit deeper than that. So if you would like to explain, I would love it, and I would love to hear about how you approach Reiki.
Yeah, you know, I think explanation is good, but obviously the experiential reality is, you know, we could talk about swimming till we're blue in the face, but until you actually learn how to swim, it's a different...
I get it, Jake, but we're a radio show. Unless you want Stevie to lay on the table.
I'm
the table.
I'm half kibbison, but, you know, it's a good Yiddish word. But Reiki really is, Rei in the Japanese, you know, language is Rei is universal and Ki. Chi is energy. So it really was started, I do believe, by a man by the name of Dr. Makao Usui, who was, you know, had like a 21-day meditation fast. And when he was on Mount Kuriyama in Japan, he saw these different symbols, you know, that came during his meditation. And after he saw these symbols, he started working on different patients, you know, different people who came to him when he came off the mountain. And he started like a whole clinic that was based off of his own symbols that he saw in his awakening, in his meditation. So there is a system behind it, but whether we notice or not, we're always working with our own energy. For instance, when you ran a bike ride and your arm is hurting, your immediate instinct is to put your arm right on that place.
Right.
We don't even recognize that we use our own energy to really progress healing. You know, so Reiki, like you said, it could be, you know, where you put your hands on the patient is okay with that. Obviously, do's and don'ts, as we know.
Sure.
But it also works with people's electromagnetic field or their auric field, you know, because, you know, all is energy, not just limited by the physical body, but also our energetic body and our field. So it really could work to really clear a lot of ill-dignified field. And I think a lot of people are very empathic, and we take on a lot of energies that aren't our own. And so it's a great way to really clear our own energy fields from the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So it's we're multidimensional beings, and this is a very multidimensional form of healing.
Empathic means you feel other people's pain, right?
Other people, or it could be macro too. You just walk into a room and you'll pick up on the collective energy. And we're all empathic. I mean, for instance, you know, we always say we could feel the tension in the air in the room, you know, or you're with someone, you just feel like you're on cloud nine. So we all have energies and we all feed off of that, you know. We all emit, you know, brainwave patterns that we pick up. So we're all empathic, you know, psychics or not. We all are very much intuitive beings, you know.
I don't know. You picking up anything on me, Stevie?
Nothing I have before.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's boring at this point.
Not pure thoughts.
What's up? No, there's no pure thoughts in this head, Jeff.
It's interesting, yeah.
It's interesting, and it's also... In a 2-year span where we've had so much time to reflect, where so much has changed in our lives, and so many people have to reinvent themselves and reinvent how they do things. I feel it's your. Did you get in a shock?
Yes.
My God, I thought he was having.
Seriously?
Yes. I'm serious.
Are you plugged in or is that the battery?
It's the battery. I just got a freaking shock.
How do you get a shock from your battery?
I have no idea. Probably a dead person.
What else could it be?
It could be a lot of things. It could just be energy.
You can't get a shock from a battery. It's a battery.
I just did.
All right, now I'm empathic. Now I'm feeling creeped the blank out.
Rick is pretty potent, like I was saying.
It's not the first time that's happened here.
You did this.
Yeah, thanks, Jake.
Blame it on the Jake.
Yeah. Oh, your fault, Jake.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, I feel like it's important for people to know about this stuff now. Hmm? You know, everybody's got time to reflect. Like, didn't they say that more people will tap into their own abilities? Didn't Maria say that?
Yeah, well, the thing you got to be careful with is all these people that think they have abilities that don't have abilities. Mm. And everybody thinks after, like, you know, one class, you put
Oh, they're a medium, yeah.
Yeah. They're not even a small or a large. It's scary.
It's stupid.
What's scarier is how many times I've heard that joke and I still don't even see it coming. I'm blindsided every time.
Just because you play the chopsticks doesn't mean you need to go to a big music hall and have a big, you know, you're working with grief. You're working with people who are really hurting. So, you know,
dangerous.
Really better bring it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are having false hope and they're hold on to every word. And it's a very vulnerable position, you know, for someone who's lost someone. So,
yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes there are people that just won't accept the way the person died. Mm-hmm. And they try to talk themselves into believing it's something else. I get that a lot with suicides, unfortunately, because they convince themselves it was a murder, it was this, it was that, and unfortunately it's not the case. We have a lot of people that are troubled that decide to end their life for various reasons, because of mental health reasons usually, and that's what ends up usually happening.
Suicides are the hardest thing to deal with.
Agreed. Well, it
takes
years. It's a selfish thing, because people have a hard time accepting it.
We're going to start in a couple of minutes taking calls. So if you want to start now and get a head start, it's 631-955-0943. Start ringing now. Do want to bring more attention to this book. Jacob Cooper is our special guest, licensed clinical social worker. The book is Life After Breath. Jake, if you were to explain this book to somebody that, a stranger, how would you explain it to them?
You know, I've got a cousin who's an intuitive in Tucson, and when she picked up the book, she said, I have one word that comes to me, and that's inspiration.
Okay.
And, you know, I think inspiration is the oxygen of our times, you know, and to be inspired means, to me, to be in spirit and to be in a heightened state. And I think there was so much heaviness with this human experience that we needed to find ways to elevate ourselves, kind of like a hot air balloon, you know, to work with the human part, but also ascend in our true nature. So I think the book is meant to inspire, invigorate a sense of faith to hopefully a deeper knowing where, you know, there leaves no doubt, and hopefully to empower people to really, you know, tap into their own higher consciousness and their own inner true being.
The book is Life After Breath. We will talk about it again. But right now we're going to take some calls to stupid feedback. Hi, the shark. No. Yeah. Okay. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Orlando. This is Michelle. How are you?
Hey, Michelle. How you doing?
Wonderful. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. You said, how are you?
You said the
wonderful.
Shark, and you didn't say medium.
He didn't say medium.
Yeah.
He also got a shock from a battery.
Yeah.
That's fine.
He didn't say Jaws.
No, he got the shock.
I got the shock.
Apparently, you got it, too.
I guess so.
You had a little brain fart.
Michelle, you're on with Medium Inc. in the Shark Studio, so I'm sort of right.
Thank you. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you? How are your holidays?
They're good so far.
Good. We're just wondering, Jeff, anything from my dad or anything with me and my family moving or anything?
Well, there is a relocation, because I do see a relocation.
There is?
Yes. Your father's got the U-Haul truck pulled up to the front of the house.
Yes. So.
And he works by the hour, he said.
He did.
No.
Yes.
Michelle, you still there?
I am. I had some feedback, but we're good.
Yeah. I'm trying to fix it. Hang on.
So you can do all kinds of electronic stuff.
How about now, honey?
It's getting better. It's okay. We'll work through it.
There you go.
Better all the time,
yes,
huh?
It is. But yes, Michelle, the move is a good thing.
Yes, we're heading to Florida, actually.
Well, good. What part?
Melbourne area.
That's nice. I'll be there in January. I'm doing an event down there.
Oh, nice. We've been going back and forth with work.
Yes.
So we were just there.
Yeah, I'm going to actually be in Boca in February twice.
Beautiful over there. Absolutely beautiful. Well, hopefully I could come see you when you're there.
Absolutely.
That would be wonderful.
But Melbourne, yeah, we're doing an event. It's for a charity. I do it every year. It's a really great charity. And Melbourne's a lot of fun because half of Melbourne is Long Island. It's
what kind of charity is it, Jeff?
All the former defense people that work for Grumman that live there now.
Yes, yes. What kind of charity is it, actually? Because the company that we work
for
we're going to be doing a donation.
On my site, it's up on my site.
Okay, I'm going to look it up because
it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's a nice group. We usually get, like, over 100 people. It's really, really intimate. It's a lot of fun. I don't mind the ride from Boca to Melbourne, which is like 2.5 hours.
It is about 2.5, yep.
But it's fun. It's a fun thing. And I end up going to, there's an Irish pub in the town. I usually go there for lunch.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. We were there not too long ago.
There
it's
you go.
Great.
See, but Melbourne's going to be good for you. Anything water-based for you guys is excellent.
I can't.
You know, you're not going to go wrong.
No, I can't wait. We got family and friends down there.
Agreed.
So.
And they have Italian food there, so you're good.
There you go.
Your father said, as long as I got pizza and, you know, some sort of mozzarella and sauce, you're good.
I know, but nothing like New York pizza.
Well, you know what? It's getting better down there. I have to tell you that.
Jeff,
dream anything,
on, buddy.
No.
Anything you see with my daughter or anything?
I saw her husband.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Miracles do take place.
Yes, and my husband's going to be okay?
Your husband, listen, you haven't put a pillow on him yet, so that's a good sign. Even though I don't blame you a couple times.
Not that we condone this.
Okay, but I don't see that being the case, so I think everything's going to work out.
All right, and my sister-in-law, is she going to be good? She's going in for
a procedure. She has her issues. She creates her own stuff. You know that.
Which one?
Both of them. Pick your drama.
Oh, dear.
You know, it works on both ends.
All right.
Do your best, but yeah, definitely check out my website. It definitely has, you know, the event. It's in January.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time and
anytime
taking my call.
Love
have
you.
A good night, gentlemen.
Okay.
Take
right.
care,
yeah,
Michelle.
Bye.
She said, gentlemen, that was a huge mistake, huh? Yeah. I think I have some of the feedback fixed.
Near-death experiencers do have an impact on technology.
Yes,
I blame it on the Jake continues. Yeah.
Yes.
We do have that impact.
It has to do with you while we're having
this. Hi, you're on with Media Mink.
I'll tell you later.
Right, I got that right this time?
Yeah.
Hi. It's someone that's passed that is being very persistent.
Do you want to do him now? Or?
No, I'm not going to do him. Thank you.
I do have a girlfriend.
No.
Man, this has been some show, huh? Hi, you're on with Media Mink.
Hi.
Who's this?
Melissa.
Melissa, you're going to have to really speak up. I'm having some sound issues, okay?
Oh.
So you're going to have to, get into it.
Okay.
Is that better?
Sure. Is that better?
Much.
Much better.
Okay. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Great. I'm so happy I got through tonight. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Not a problem. Where is the March, birthday March anniversary?
My dad.
Okay, because he's coming through.
Hmm.
He was all over me.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, around this time you'd be eating, so Sunday dinner is always a plus, you know?
Yes.
And he misses food. Yes. Plus, he wanted you to know now that he could swallow and he could breathe because he was having such a hard time at the end.
Don't you dare.
Good. Nice.
So it's his way of stepping forward, and then he brought two ladies with him. So definitely one is a mom energy, one is his grandmother.
Welcome to the show, Jake.
Thank you, Dad.
It's a parent show.
All right, so now you're in good hands.
I was really wondering about I'm applying for a job if I'm going to get...
I think you'll get the job, but I think it's also understanding that it's a very political place, and you need to be aware when you go in there that it's going to be super political.
In the new year?
Yes. It's probably going to be late February.
Okay.
All right, so it's a matter of how you manage it and how you deal with it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you. I hope you had a great holiday weekend.
It was good so far. No complaints. It's getting interesting.
Good. Hope there's lots of food.
Take care. There's always lots of food. You see the size of us? We're going to take some more calls in just a moment. 631-955-0943 to make the call. We are here with Jay Cooper. Life After Breath is his book. You were telling him something.
No, there's a Mike. I keep seeing Michael because there's a Michael here.
That's my best friend who just...
Yeah,
you know,
and he keeps saying, you're not responsible for my passing, which means he went into a really deep place, which was not a good place, which caused him to go across. So the way he presents himself, the way he's coming through, even with your training and your ability, you would have not been able to take him out of this place.
I do have to say, the day Michael passed, Jeffrey contacted me to be on his show. So it's interesting. Yeah, a couple minutes later, right after I found out of my best friend of 26 years passing,
almost 20.
Jeff, you know, around yeah,
he
Jeff
does
passed.
That all the time.
Yeah, we over, but you know, lifetime. Jeff contacted me a couple minutes later, and it was just very healing, you know, to hear from Jeff.
Well, he's acting up because he doesn't want you to have any kind of guilt. And any kind of capacity of guilt, because it has nothing to do with anything you did.
Yes.
This is something that he decided overnight to do and did it, and it was random, and he made up his mind.
Yeah. Thank you for telling me that.
Well, that's why, but he was the one, that's why I got the shock, that's why we're having trouble with the audio. Yeah.
Let's see.
Among other things.
If that makes
so
a difference.
No, I don't think he'll stop.
Hi, you're on with Medium Inc.
Yes, can I get a reading?
It's not really how it works. Hi, who's this?
Bonnie.
Bonnie, where are you calling from?
Topeka, Kansas.
Topeka, Kansas.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
What's in Topeka?
It's the capital of Kansas.
Okay. Well, you have the Chiefs. We know that.
Yeah, Kansas City.
That's good. That's true. I remember one time, I'll tell you a little sidebar. We were doing... And a thing for Maury, we had a kid missing, so I had to fly, I guess it was Midway Airlines at the time.
Or did you go to St. Louis?
No, we went into Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
So we were coming back, and I said, I had a producer and I had a cameraman with me, we get on the plane, and I said, look, don't get upset, but there is going to be a police officer that comes on the plane that takes the pilot off the plane because he's drunk.
Oh, my gosh.
They looked at me, they're like, there's no way. And I'm like, you want to bet? And sure enough, within 15 minutes later, police officer shows up. Guy was like five times over the limit.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. So they took him off the thing. The flight was delayed, of course. And it's scary enough because we're flying into LaGuardia. And if you've ever flown into LaGuardia, you'll know. So this,
driving into LaGuardia.
So that was my experience. But I have to say, I remember going to... Because I'm a foodie, I remember having steak out there. I have to say, you guys have the best steak I've ever had.
Oh yeah, very good steak.
Yeah, amazing. So that was my experience in Kansas City.
So I remember.
I didn't meet Toto. I didn't meet Dorothy, but we almost got killed by a drunk pilot. So, and you should see the faces of the people I was with. They're like, "I can't believe this happened." I'm like, "Well, I didn't arrange it. I'm just letting you know what's going on."
Oh man. So I remember a gal that you used to work with. I can't remember her name. She was a bunch of us all over the place used to call in and do EVPs. She would record.
Oh, you're talking about Debbie Caruso?
Yes.
Yeah, who passed on, yes.
Yes. And I think about her often.
She's around.
She was,
Debbie has a code that she gave me before she passed away. And Debbie, I did a lot of Maury's with Debbie, and we went to this prison, which was in Philadelphia, which is the Eastern Penitentiary.
Uh-huh.
And we were walking through the prison, and I remember I had a leather jacket on. It must have been like 40 degrees. We were freezing because it's outside. It's not, you know, heated. And she kept grabbing my arm every 3 minutes because we saw shadow people.
It's supposed to be one of the most haunted places in America.
It is. That's where Al Capone.
Al Capone.
Yep.
He has his own room.
Yeah, and the shadow people that are there are pretty phenomenal. But yes, Debbie was amazing with EVPs. We did a lot of EVP stuff. We used to do a thing with a radio with Debbie, where you would pick up different voices through frequency.
Yes. Yeah. And I participated in that with other people several times. And
Did your dad come through from that?
Yep, I think he did. And my mom.
Yeah, your mom is standing right over your left shoulder, so it would be mom's way of letting you know. She's a little upset with the way she looked when she passed, but she looks much better now.
Yeah, she was sick.
Yeah, she was very sick. She was a disaster, but she's not anymore. So
she's beautiful.
She has beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
And she said you have her skin, so she had really good skin.
Oh, great.
Aren't you glad you're getting compliments from the other side?
Yes.
But yes, Debbie was amazing. I did a lot of stuff with Debbie.
Yes, I miss her.
Yeah, she was the best. Because we did a thing for Maury years ago when that movie White Noise came out.
Yes.
And I met some of the EVP people. There was another woman who had lost her son and another woman who had lost her daughter. And they came through on the EVPs.
I really don't know how you're not like a straight alcoholic. I really don't.
Where do you think the term spirits came from?
Exactly.
The name of they're drinking spirits to access the spirits.
Good point, my friends.
But no, EVPs are something if you want to get into, it's very easy to do. You know, get.
Yeah, I have done it before, and I know I've gotten some responses.
Yeah, they'll answer
not
questions.
Not very many, but some.
You can ask them when the Mets are going to win the World Series.
Please, ask it now.
That goes without saying. But yes, that's your mom and dad's way of letting you know that they're there.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Do you get anything from my granddaughter?
Yes, because she was the one. There's actually a baby with your mom, and then there's also the granddaughter, so they're both there.
Oh, okay, good.
So they're both coming through together.
Hon, Liz, we are limited on time, so we got to take other calls, but thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks,
you and
Bonnie.
That beautiful Midwestern accent.
Thank you, Bonnie, for bringing Debbie up, because I was thinking of Debbie a couple of days ago, and she was such an extraordinarily
My pleasure.
Wonderful soul.
Have a good night,
thank
Bonnie.
Thank you so much.
All right, take
you
care.
Too.
All right, we'll take about two or three more calls. 631-955-0943 is the Media Mink hotline. Jacob Cooper is with us. Life After Breath is the book. Target, Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you actually go to a real bookstore, like in person, and talk to somebody? Or
yeah, mostly Amazon. You know, I've been trying to work with local Long Island stores. I know the book review was one of my targets, but that went out. So
we heard personal. That it was in person. It was not personal.
Yeah.
No,
one of the managers from the book review is actually looking to build a new bookstore.
I heard about that. Yeah, out in Huntington.
It's not going to happen. You know how hard it is. Number one, the landlord's impossible. And number two, with the way rents are and everything.
Yeah.
I have a garage. Turn that. I love the book review. It's where I met Duff McKagan. All right. You know who that is?
Yes.
Do you really?
It's a wrestler.
No. 5 minutes, no talking. Hi, you're on with Media Mink.
Everything comes down to wrestling.
Yeah. Yes.
You may not get a reading, though, because I don't want Jeffrey talking anymore. Who's this?
Linda, how are you?
All right, Linda, I'll make an exception for you.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you.
Just looking to see if anybody's around.
Where is the May reference? Because they show me the month of May.
Oh, it's my middle name.
Okay, because they keep bringing it. I think this is almost comes through like this is a person who had an obstruction and then had something else with their lungs before they passed.
Okay.
All right, but they're like overlapping to May.
Okay.
And they were not able to speak at the end, so they're using this as an opportunity to let you know that they're close by.
Okay, great.
And they're showing me legal papers, so I don't know what the legal thing is.
Not sure.
Like, you're
going to
be dealing with a lawyer. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Okay.
So it comes up in a positive way.
Okay, great. Anybody else, or that's it?
That's who I heard, yeah.
Okay.
So take it on one step at a time, okay?
Okay, sounds good to me.
Have a good night, honey.
You too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. One or two more. I was short. Hi, you're on with Media Mink.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Who's this?
This is Marie.
Marie, I just need you to speak up a bit, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
I can. It's just that we're having some sound issues, so the louder you can be without waking up your neighborhood, the easier it's going to be.
Okay. Yes, my name is Marie, and I was hoping to speak to Jeffrey.
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, how are you? Now, where is this Joe?
My friend.
Okay, because Joseph, I keep hearing.
Yeah.
Who jumped
in? He's a very good friend of mine.
Okay. And then your dad, there's a rose, and then there's somebody else that's showing me, like, some sort of Valentine's Day connection.
Rose was my best friend, and she passed away.
Well, she's here.
Oh, great. I miss her a lot.
Well, she's like a sister from another mother.
Yes, she is. We were very close.
You still are.
I hope
she's a little worried about your health. I mean, not a doctor, but she has some concerns about the health. You need to start paying more attention to the health.
Yeah, well, I do.
I hope so, because she was talking about your legs. And I don't think it's a sexy leg contest she's talking about. She's talking about something with circulation and something having to do with the right knee, right leg area.
Well, that's where I had a long time ago, Jeffrey. I had a meniscus.
It doesn't matter. Just be careful.
Okay, I will. I promise.
All right.
The Valentine's connection was, I'm divorced, but that's when I got engaged, and my ex-husband passed away.
Well, he's asking for forgiveness, so he hopes that you're not upset with him anymore.
Well, I'm trying not to be.
You shouldn't be. He was an a-hole in life, excuse my French. But
his words, not mine.
Okay.
No,
but
okay.
He absolutely feels bad about what he did, so this would be his way of hoping that you forgive him.
I'm trying.
Did you just say Jeffrey's never wrong? You know, I have to deal with him after you hang up.
I know, but
I'm joking,
listen,
honey.
I love Jeffrey.
Well, thank you. If somebody does, that's good.
I think he's great.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't think everybody does.
One concern. I know you have a very limited time.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take up all your time.
You know,
go ahead.
My daughter isn't well, and she has a metastatic breast cancer going through treatment.
This is the left breast?
It's really not. It's really in the sternum area.
Okay, because I'm like towards the left more, but I do think it's treatable.
She's going through treatment, but she is. You know, the treatment isn't doing her any good.
Not yet, but I feel like there's an obstacle to overcome. So I kind of feel like things are going to improve for her.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
I'm so sorry she's going through this, but...
Me too. I'm a breast cancer survivor.
Well, you're amazing, so we know that.
I love you.
You just got to hang in there and not
make
yourself...
I got to come see you again.
All right, well, I'm breathing. I'm here.
So. I know. I came once already, but...
All right, well, just hear me and know with her that, I think she's going to be okay. So take it on one step at a time, okay?
Okay. We're going to take one final call, hon. Thank you for the call.
All right, feel better, okay?
Thank you, Jeffrey.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
So before we get into it one more time, our guest, Jacob Cooper. Jake, thanks for joining us tonight and adding some class to this little operation that we have. Dude, there were like fancy words and there were deep thoughts. And
he should come on a little more often.
He should. I feel classier. What about you?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit more. Yeah. Isn't that?
Pinky out.
Stay classy, my friends.
I thought that was a symbol for your thing.
For what?
His thing?
Isn't that a...
You're asking me. I don't have a clue.
Pinky square?
No, isn't that... Never mind.
Pinky swears aren't gay?
No, I didn't say pinky swears were.
You have to make everything about...
He did, not me.
I'm not like this because it's fancy.
Hi, you're with me, you mink.
Hello?
That sounds like an AVP.
Hi, you're on with Media Mink.
Hi.
Could you turn down the computer, please?
Sure. Hi, how are you, Jeffrey?
I'm good, thank you.
I was just wondering, I'm having surgery on Tuesday, how it's going to go?
From what I could see, it looks really, really good.
It's going to take care of all the pain that I've been in.
It's going to take time. Okay. But I actually have a good feeling with the outcome, so I think you're going to be in better shape than what you're expecting.
Okay, and any messages from my mom and dad?
No, they're not ready for you, so that means they have plans for you to keep you here.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
I figured you'd be happy about that, my dear.
And my husband's father just passed away. Is he at peace now?
Yeah, he wasn't at peace in life, but he is now.
Okay, thank you, Jeffrey.
All right, feel better, okay?
Thank you.
You have a great holiday.
You too. Bye-bye.
On that note, I don't know what that was. I was reading something, I guess. That was pretty fast. What do you got going on?
Nothing really, just working, and I got a lot of stuff in January, February, March.
No events now?
No, it's Christmas time.
Jacob, you got any events going on?
I have an event this upcoming Friday in Massapequa. It's with another medium of mine, so we do, from a medium's perspective and near-death experience, you know, perspective, we just do kind of like a gallery and a talk on the afterlife. I think, you know, it's good because a lot
plug
of people
away,
are,
bro. That's...
you know, it's a heightened time of grief with the holidays, and we're trying to utilize belief to help out with grief. So
where is it?
Right in Massapequa. I should have said that, but
It's where in Massapequa?
Right in Broadway. Jacob, it's in a yoga studio.
On Broadway,
studio.
In a yoga studio.
It's called Elevation Yoga Studio.
How do we get there?
It's at 7 p.m. This is a coming Friday. It's at Elevation Yoga Studio in Massapequa. So be there. It's a great place to be.
That was good.
It's that
we do things around here.
I'm never to the point. I apologize.
No, it's all good.
You yelled at him.
I didn't yell.
You did too.
That was my Italian to your Jewish counterpart. That's all that was.
I get it. We come from the same neck of the woods.
Exactly.
I understand.
You know, I was reaching in and pulling out. That's all.
I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm not going there. I am not going near that.
Oh, listen, this was a fun show. It really was. It really was a fun show. Thanks for coming. Did you look it up?
Yeah, nothing about the actual pinky. It says about pinky rings, but not about the actual
Wait a minute. Pinky rings? No.
Said it was a stereotype.
That's my people, not yours.
Says it was a stereotype that they wore pinky
was it?
Rings.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Hey, listen. Wear all the pinky rings you want.
I don't have any.
I was mistaken that was...
Yes, you were.
Okay, we're here to educate.
Yes.
Jack, listen, you both talk with your hands. Yeah,
that's what we do.
Not me.
You were both pinkies flailing. I don't even know if I could do that.
I actually didn't think I had as much dexterity in my pinkies either. So.
Talking with hands, that's an Italian thing.
Talk with hands is an Italian thing. On that note, good night, Long Island.
Good night.
I'm going to upload this one now.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.